Okay, so we're holding on the chop of Gimel Amud Bey's second line. Okay, we started discussing as follows. Within the idea of Bittul, we were talking about the idea of Nevela and Shkutha, the meat of Nevela versus meat of an animal that was shefted, where you had them mixed together. You don't know which is which. So we talked about which one could be bottled to the other one. We had Rav Chisda saying that the Nevela will be bottled to the Shkutha because meat that's Shkutha cannot become Nevela. It can never have the Isser Nevela on it. Therefore, it's like Min B'Sheini Minoi. And everybody, the Chachamim and Rav Yehuda, would agree that Min B'Sheini Minoi is bottle and Rav. Whereas if it's the other way around, if you have, on the other hand, Nevela could conceivably become Shkutha in the sense that if Nevela gets spoiled, then you don't have the issue of Nevela on it anymore. So therefore, it has effectively the din of Shkutha. That was Rav Chisda. Then we had Rav Chanina saying the other way around. If the thing that you want to become bottle is able to become like the Mevasa, like the one that you want to be Mevasa it in, then if it's possible for it, then it's not going to be bottled. So he says the other way around. Nevela will not be bottled for Shkutha, but Shkutha will be bottled to Nevela. If you want to be, according to Rav Chisda, if you have a smaller amount of Nevela and a larger amount of Shkutha, then it'll be bottled. According to Rav Chanina, it will not be bottled. Just the opposite. A small amount of Shkutha will be bottled in Nevela. He says, because that's just it. If it's able to become like the other thing, then precisely because it can become like that thing, therefore it does not become bottled.
So according to Chanina, it goes by quantity.
No, everybody agrees it goes by quantity. The question is, as the Gemara is going to establish soon, are we going according to the bottle or are we going according to the mivatel? What is the more important thing in the mixture over here? The mivatel, the thing which you want to be mivatel, the other thing in this, or the bottle, the thing that you want to make bottle, the thing that you want to make lose its identity. We'll get to that soon. Okay, but first we started discussing. The question is, within the machloikas of the Chachamim and the Yehuda about min b'ninoi versus min b'she'ene minoi, who would this machloikas of Amaroyim, of Rechista versus of Chanina, within whose opinion would it be? If it's within the Rabbanon, they would say they don't care whether it's min b'ninoi or min b'she'ene minoi. They care whether it's oilin or not, whether they're things that are offered on the Zayach. So therefore, why according to them? It wouldn't matter whether the fact is it's Nevela and Shkutha, it's both min b'mina, because they're both meat, and therefore it'll be bottled either way. There's not going to be a difference Shkutha versus Nevela and Nevela versus Shkutha, whichever one has the most. Yeah. And that's according to Chachamim. And according to Rabbi Yehuda would say you go according to the appearance of it, or not the appearance so much that's in connection with blood, but the point is he goes according to the physical realities over here. Again, here they're both one min, so therefore they're not bottling each other. Min b'mina ain't a bottle. He's not going to start distinguishing between one is Shkutha and one is Nevela, but they're the same min. According to him, it's all one min because it's all biologically one thing. It's all meat, and therefore chemically it's all one thing, and therefore that's it.
So therefore
it won't be bottled. So according to the Chachamim, it'll be bottled either way. But that's what we have to figure out. According to the Chachamim, it's bottled either way. According to the Bihud, it's not bottled either way. So who are they arguing with? Both Rav Chisda and Rav Chanina are saying that it depends which one is the bottle and which one is the mivatel. Is it Nevela versus Shkutha or Shkutha versus Nevela? But they're saying, even though they're both meat, we have to look at the respective dinim then. But the Chachamim don't care about that. They say min b'mina is bottle, whether they have the same dinim or not. The Rabbi Yehuda says min b'mina ain't a bottle. So therefore, who is their machloikas like? Hello? So the answer is Ela al-libad r'bchia. So we have to answer that their machloikas of the machloikas of Amiroyim, the machloikas of Amiroyim is within the opinion of Rav Chia. Now Rav Chia, being a Tana, can argue with the other Tanaim. So therefore they can be arguing within his opinion. The Tani Rav Chia, Nevela Shkutha, the Tale of Zubazu, because Rav Chia taught a Braita, that Nevela and Shkutha can be bottled one to the other, but Rav Chia did not specify which one, is it that either one can be bottled in either one or not. But if that's all it was, then basically he's going with the same as the Chachamim, and he doesn't have to mention Nevela and Shkutha at all, which is what the next thing the Gemara is going to take up. The Gemara is going to establish in the next few lines that the Gemara is going to establish in the next few lines which of the opinions of the other two Tanoim is Rav Chiya basically following over here. Granted, he's a Tana and he's able to argue with them, but basically you would think he has to be going according to one position or the other. Either Min B'Mina is Bottle, or fine, but we have to see which basic idea. Right, we have to see which basic idea does he follow and then he modifies it. Which basic concept does he hold? Does he basically hold Min B'Mina is Bottle like a Chachamim? Does he basically hold Min B'Mina is not Bottle like Rabbi Hoya? And either way, then he's modifying it as he sees. So, that's the first thing we have to figure out, is Rav Chiya al-Libba D'man. So first we have to figure out which of the two opinions is Rav Chiya himself following. And again, if he's following the Rabbanan, the Rabbanan say that if you have two things that are both offered on Mizbeach, like the blood of the power and the blood of the Seder, then one's not Mizbeach or the other, but they say one min is Bottle in the other, regardless whether one's Nevela and one's Shoter or what have you, so it can't be on the face of it. The Iyah Libid Rabbi Yehuda, and if you're going to tell me that the Priya is talking according to Rabbi Yehuda, call min b'mina, let Rabbi Yehuda like Bottle, then according to Rabbi Yehuda, min b'mina is never bottle, period. So then we're back to the question. And before we get to the Chista and Rabbi Chanina, if we're saying that Rabbi Chista and Rabbi Chanina are arguing within Rabbi Chiya's opinion, then first we have to figure out where is Rabbi Chiya himself? What is he himself saying? So the answer is la'olam al-libad Rabbi Yehuda. La'olam al-libad Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so we can answer that in fact Rabbi Chiya is talking within Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. The Chi Ka'amar of Yehuda min b'mina like bottle. However, what Rav Chiya says is like this: When does Rav Yehuda say min b'mina is not bottle? Hani mili hecha de efshalei lemehave kavosei. That would be where one of those things is able to become like the other one. Avol hecha deloy efshalei lemehave kavosei. But where one of them is not able to become like the other one, then he would say bottle. So Rav Chiya would be understanding Rabbi Yehuda to be saying that where one of them is able to become like the other one, then it's not bottle. But if it's not possible for it to be like the other one, then we're saying that it's bottle.
How would that work with
Nevela, so that's the thing. So now Rav Chista and Rav Chanina are arguing within that. When Rav Chiya says that Yehuda will say that there's a difference between whether one of them is able to become like the other one in terms of dinim or not, the question is, are we looking at the bottle becoming like the mevatel or the other way around? So let's read through the Gemara and then we'll teach it out. So therefore, overhaul commitment. So now we can say that therefore now we understand the machloekas of the Amidoyim. The Rav Chista of bottom of vassal over them. Rav Chista says that you go according to the mevassal. Therefore, he says that since Nevela is able to become like Shchuta in the sense that it has dinim of it, because Nevela is often, well, not when it gets older. No, Nevela is an animal that died without Shchuta. The point is, as Nevela, it's also to eat, and it's Metame. Had it been Shchuta, it would not have been. But also, once Nevela spoils, and Machlokas in a few places in Chaff, how exactly that's how much of that's to spoil, but the point is, there is a point when once it's spoiled, it loses those dinim of Nevela. Therefore, effectively, it becomes like Shchuta. So therefore, Rav Chista is saying that Nevela will be bottle in Shchuta because you go according to the Mevatel. He says like this: since the mevatel is not able to become like the bottle, because shchuta, which is the mevatel, is not able to become nevela. You can never have that a piece of meat from a shchuta is able to have the isurim of nevela and the truma of nevela. Therefore, he understands Rav Chiya, who in turn is understanding Rav Yehuda, to be saying that's when we would say that's bottle.
He gave the example of the guest child, if it could macerate in a jail.
Yeah, new.
It's like a nevela.
Well, no. What? No, nevela is allowed. A ger toshev is allowed to eat nevela.
Oh, right.
Yeah, if you give him shchuta and he mixes it with nevela, okay, he's allowed to eat the whole mixture. But the point is that you would only have not even necessarily is that mixture going to be mekame, because you don't know. As Rashi points out at the beginning of the sugya, if you have, let's say, two pieces over here, you don't know which is which. Then if kodshim or whatever touches one of them, then it's not tameh, because you don't know whether it touches the nevela one or the shchuta one. Okay. So the shchuta can never become nevela. So therefore, in effect, it's min b'she'en and min. So therefore, Rav Chista is going to argue that nevela is considered she'en and min. Shchuta is considered she'en and min nevela. You go according to the mevatel. You go according to the one that you want to make the other one vatel to. Since shchuta cannot become nevela, therefore, relative to shchuta, nevela is considered, it's considered she'en emina, because the shchuta is not going to be able to become like the thing, like the nevela that you want to be mevatel. Rashi actually asked the question that we had Rabbi Yehuda saying that blood of Cholin is not mevatel blood of Kodshim. The question is how this fits, how that idea fits with what we're saying over here. Rav Chanina, we can understand it, because Rav Chanina says effectively what you can have is Kodshim become like Cholin, in the sense that if you leave them overnight, they become potel, and you can't eat them like Kodshim. But according to Rav Chista, Cholin can never become Kodshim, so therefore it ought to be min b'shein in minoy, and yet you're saying that Rabbi Yehuda still holds it's not bottle. So how does that fit with what we're saying over here? No. Okay. Anyway, so Rashi leaves the question unanswered. Rashi leaves the question unanswered. This question that he just asked, that how does this understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, how does it fit with what Rabbi Yehuda said about Dam Cholin and Dam Kodshim? How is Rabbi Chista going to understand Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that blood of Cholin is not Mevatel blood of Kodshim, given that Cholin cannot become Kodshim, and he's saying you go according to the Mevatel? So Rashi leaves the question unanswered. In Shittimu Kubetis, it brings Kostas Chathonius, that the answer is, you're right, you would have to say, Rav Chista would of necessity have to say, look, Rav Chia is a Tana, he's entitled to argue with Rav Yehuda altogether. Rav Chanina has the ability to say, Rav Chia is not arguing with Rav Yehuda over here, he's just giving his own understanding of Rav Yehuda. But you're right, Rav Chista of necessity would have to say that Rav Chia argued with both the Chachamim and Rav Yehuda. The Rashi is over here, the second line of the narrow line.
The Rashi. The Kodshim cannot become a Vatel, can never become
the opposite. Kodshim can become Cholin, but Cholin can't become Kodshim. If you have an animal that was shechted already and you have blood of it that's Cholin, it's not possible for that blood to become Kodshim as Veach. It was already shechted as Cholin. But if you have blood of Kodshim, it's able to become like blood of Cholin, in the sense that if you leave it overnight, it becomes possible. You can't sprinkle it on the Veach, then it's the equivalent of blood of Cholin. Nevela doesn't apply to it. So that's the question. That's Rashi's question is, how is Rav Chista, who says you go according to the Mevatel, how is he going to understand this whole situation? So that's what Shittim HaKubetis is bringing from Tosfos Chathonius, that Rav Chista is going to have to say that Rav Chia, that there's a three-way Machlokas Tanoim, because the Chachamim, Rav Yehuda, and Rav Chia.
We don't even have it.
Tosfos Chathonius means other collections of Tosfos that are not that they didn't print on the side over here in Tosfos' usual spot. Yeah, it's still from the same Balei Tosfos.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
Not answered.
No, so Rashi didn't answer the question. The Shittim HaKubetis answered it. But wait, the point, in other words, Rav Chista and Rav Chanina are going to have to understand the Rav Chia differently. Anyway, the point is, so Rav Chista is saying Vos the Mevatel is Lenin. Rav Chista says you go according to the Mevatel. If the Mevatel is not able to become like the bottle, like in this case, in other words, Shchuta cannot become Nevela, then the Nevela is bottle. Nevela can become Shchuta in the sense that it doesn't have the Issu Nevela anymore.
After
it's spoiled. But Rav Chanina says a bottle is Lenin, whereas Rav Chanina said you go according to the one that you're trying to be Mevatel. Okay, so you have the same kind of basic idea. You have Nevela can become Shchuta, Shchuta can't become Nevela. Rav Chanina is going to go according to the bottle, according to the one that you want to be Mevatel. You want to be Mevatel Nevela in a larger amount of Shchuta. You can't do that, he says, because the fact is Nevela could become Shchuta. Therefore, it's Min B'Minah. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Min B'Minah is not bottle. because it can spoil, and then it doesn't have the issue of chutzen, and then it doesn't have the issue of the tumor of nevela anymore.
It's considered like chutzen?
In that sense, because if a person were to eat it, he might get all kinds of diseases. He might be over on the shmash more than apshatechem, but he's not going to. But malchus for eating the vela, he's not going to get. And tumor of touching or carrying the vela, he's not going to get.
We go to the point,
and it becomes like shofar in that sense, right? Okay, so now that we understand the machloikas, now let's see how that relates. So now again, according to Rav Chanina, we go according to the bottle. We see according to Rav Chanina, what it means is like this. According to Rav Chanina, you have a smaller amount of nevela. You want to be mevatelis in a larger amount of shofar. The problem is, says Rav Chanina, because nevela is able to become shchuta, that means it's effectively min b'mina. Min b'mina, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is not possible. So therefore, when we're talking within Rabbi Yehuda's opinion over here, then or according to Rav Chiya's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, then we have a problem with min b'mina. It's not possible. Whereas according to Rav Chista, it will be possible because good. Nevela is able to become shchuta. You go according to the mevato, which is the shchuta, and therefore you're good. Therefore, it's min b'sheni mina. Because Shchuta cannot become Nevela. So that's the Machlokes. That's the Machlokes of Rav Chista and Rav Chanina. By the way, I mean, so far we're saying that this is all within Rav Yehuda's opinion. The truth is, I mean, the Halacha is not like Rav Yehuda in general as far as Min B'Mino. The Halacha is generally like the Chachamim, that Min B'Mino is Basel regardless. In fact, to a certain extent, we're sometimes even more makel with min b'mino, or when we have charuv, yavish v'yavish, we'll talk about it, the kolam v'ez v'shem. Anyway, the point is, here though, the Rambam does bring this question about nevela being bottled and shuta or not. So if it's within Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, why is that? So one of the answers, I think Ma'ari Kroker says on the Rambam, the reason is because the Rambam may understand here it's not totally a thing of bittul, because after all, you do have You can talk about being a vassal the issue, but you also have to deal with the matter of the tumor involved over there. The fact is, nevela has a tumor when you touch it or when you carry it. And here, if you touch this point out of here, if you have nevela mixed with chutna, fine, you're not going to become tummy when you touch it because you don't know which particular piece you touched. But if you take the whole thing in a container, for example, and you carry it, necessarily you carry the nevela. You're going to be tummy regardless. So in that sense, it's not a total bissel. And in that case, you can talk even within the chumim, who say min b'min is bottle, we can still talk within their opinion also whether in this case it's bottle or not. Because there's an inyan of tumah, which doesn't go away as a result of it being mixed, because if you carry the entire mixture, you're still necessarily carrying the veil.
So you go to some tumah, but that doesn't mean there's an issue.
No, but again, there's two different things involved in the veil. There's an issue of eating it and there's tumah.
No, I don't think we're saying that the vessel is
The bittul was on the tumor of maga, but not of masa.
Okay, because I think you've got one piece of halam, the kederish or butter, and the whole thing is that we can eat all butter.
That's fine.
Which is,
but that, as far as eating, you have bittul of 1 in 60, or sometimes even 1 in row, or whatever. But when you talk about, the fact is, you're carrying this nevela somewhere in the middle. Right, okay, but that's a difference, yeah.
So in the victim of the Shia, is the guy bring a carbon? Is he in the Azara, or is he in the kitchen? And he drops dead. So often everyone will, or the Kohen who are dealing with the guy would come down.
Well, yeah. You mean if you're talking about the animal, we can't have the animal died, yeah. Anybody who touches that, the animal is going to become tummy, yeah.
So
they have to carry it out as fast as possible, because you have to get Tuma out of the best mix as fast as possible, yeah.
Whenever does one person carry it, or they hand it off?
I have no idea. All right, let's go on. Okay, so now that we understand, the fundamental machloikas of Rav Chista and Rav Chanina, now we can get into how we can relate that to our Mishnah, which is why we're bringing this in over here, and see which of the two opinions our Mishnah can be made to work according to. So, now, we learned in our Mishnah, Shnei Menachas Shalei Nichmasu. We have a case, you have two Menachas, where no Kmitsa had been taken from either one yet, V'nis'aru Zubazu, and one got mixed with the other. So we said in the Mishnah, Yochel Likmus V'zubafnei Asma V'zubafnei Asma, if you're able to, if there's enough of it that didn't get mixed, that you're able to take a Kmit from one all by itself, that you're going to get a Kmit completely from that one Mincha, without any mixture from the other one, or V'zubafnei Asma, and from the other one, same thing, Kshedus, and both Menachas Akasha, V'im Lav Psulis, and if not, then they're possible.
Okay, one Mikosin? Because, yeah, because
if you have, it's either, yeah, I mean, you're not really going to have, well, you can take from one, but the other one, there's no way of taking from it without getting some of the other. I don't see that that's, I don't see.
I'm not saying if you have left over.
What was it, Kate? If, like, the two circles in the Venn diagram, one of them is entirely in the second circle.
Okay. So then I guess in that case, yeah. I guess, yeah.
So he would be right.
So I guess, yeah, you could have a case where one of them is kosher and one of them is not. Okay, fair enough.
Yes,
yeah. No, he's right. Because you could have, in other words, you could have where you're able to take a koimetz from one of them. Hello? You have the situation is they fell in such a way where one of them you're able to get a koimetz out of it. The other one, if you tried to get a koimetz out of it, you're going to end up getting some of the other one as well. Okay, I don't know. I guess if you know your way around topology, you might be able to think of a scenario. I don't know. But
I mean, of course, something that packet is behind.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, the point is, let's see how that relates to the machlokes of Rav Chisda and Rav Chanina. So consider our situation over here. Shivin de kumis le'mechada. Now, what happened? You're not going to have your... Okay, we're holding on to Gimel on the Bay.
Gimel on the
Bay.
You
want
something to drink?
No. Okay. So, v'ha'ha'ha. Now, let's consider our situation. You want menacha. V'ha'ha'ha. Shivin de kumis le'mechada. Now, let's consider. You take a kumis from one of these two menachas that fell together. What happens? Now what happens? The rest of that particular mincha is shirayim. But now what do you have? At the moment when you took out the koimetz from the first one, before you had a chance to take the koimetz for the second one, now what you have is shirayim of one mincha mixed together with a full another mincha. And the Gemara is going to call that second mincha tevel. The Gemara is going to call it in the sugya over here tevel because it's similar to produce where you didn't take off truma and maizu yet, which is tevel. Here, it's a mincha that you take out the koimetz. It's a similar concept. So therefore, so you have one mincha now, either havel is shirayim, so now you have the remainder of the one mincha is shirayim. The loikam of the shirayim with tevla. And we're saying that the shirayim of that one mincha are not mevatel, the tevel, which the other mincha is still tevel at this point, because the koimetz hasn't been taken out of it.
So
that's what we have to figure out. So mani, so we have to figure out who would our Mishnah be like when that was saying that's not mevatel. E rabbanon, if you're talking according to the rabbanon, doesn't work. Ha amri olin hu delo mevatel hadadi. The rabbanon said that things that go on the mizbeach don't be mevatel each other, but the shirayim that go on the mizbeach, by definition, the shirayim are eaten by the kohen. So therefore, ha min b'mino batel. They would say that min b'mino would be batel. So therefore, the shirayim of the one mincha ought to be batel in the tevel of the other mincha, or vice versa. Which means you have a problem. Well, it means now you have a problem. You took out a koimetz of one. Now what's going to happen is the other mincha should be batel in the shirayim of the first mincha, and therefore you can't. And therefore you can't take a koimetz from it anymore. So that doesn't work. Because what you have basically is we learned in the first paragraph that if a mincha is missing some of its volume before kmitza, then you're not allowed to take kmitza from it. And over here, effectively, what you have is the second one. As the Shitim Kabbalah has talked about the idea, inevitably you're going to have little bits and pieces of it where you're going to have in some place in this mixture over here. Remember, I mean, we're not talking they're not separately in the container. They did all together, you just have parts of them that are separate, and you have to be able to take the claimants from each one. But inevitably, you're going to have some place where you have a grain of the one mincha between two grains of the other one, like you took the claimants from. That grain will be bottled, and now the mincha is kosher, so you can't take the claimants from it. So what are you going to do? So according to the Rabbanan, that shouldn't work. Ela pshitir of Yehuda. So obviously, we have to say our Mishnah is going according to the Yehuda. Now we can see how, now we can try and slot in the machlokas of Rav Chanina and Rav Chisda and see which one of their opinions on Mishnah can go according. So if we say like Rav Chisda that we go according, if we say rather like Rav Chanina that we go according to the bottle, we say if the bottle is able to become like the mevatel, then it's min mimino.
How would you catch up in the flower? Well, so let's see. So therefore,
bottle having kibbe bottle. So what's going to happen? The bottle, meaning the mincha, which is tevel, having kibbe bottle, is able to become like the other mincha, which has had the koimetz taken out already, which is the mivatel. it's able to become like it. The lechit comes midah, because as soon as you take a claim from it, havelahu shirayim, then it becomes kiyani, then it becomes shirayim just like the other one. So there you have. In other words, the same way, for example, as we said before, nevela is able to become shchusa once it's spoiled, then it loses its dinim of nevela. The same way, the tevel can become a mincha that had a claim. It's taken. The tevel can become shirayim. You take it, you take out a claim from it.
So the claim would be allowed
to be addressed. That's it. No. So therefore, the point is that we would say like this. The point of chanina, what would happen is, you have these two menachas that fell together into one container. Now you take out a koimetz from one of them. We're going to say at that point, they are, at that point, we're going to go according to the bottle. Since the bottle, since the mincha that has not had the koimetz yet, is able to become like the other one, because you're able to take a koimetz later on from it. Therefore, what you have is min b'minay over here, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, min b'minay are not bottle. Therefore, you're good. Therefore, nothing is bottle to anything. Therefore, you take out a koimetz from the other one, and you're good. And now the koyanim can eat the shirayim of the both of them.
They've also ended up having a koimetz taken from them.
Right. Which is what our mission has said, that you do. You take a koimetz from each one. So according to Rav Chanina, it works out very nicely.
You
take the climate from the first one. Then you say the second one is not bottle for the first one because it's min b'minay, and min b'minay according to the Yehuda is not bottle.
And
therefore you can take the climate from the second one, yeah.
If there's enough.
Well, right, if there's enough that's unmixed, obviously that's what we mentioned in the Mishnah. I'm a bottle as linen, but according to the Chista, who says you go according to the mevatel, meaning in other words, you say that. So what do you have? A tevel is able to become a mincha shenikmasa, but not vice versa. A mincha shenikmasa, which is the mevatel over here, is not able to become like tevel, because you can't, once the claimant is taken out, then that's it. The rest is shirayim. It doesn't become, it can't become a tevel mincha again. It can't become an unclaimant mincha. So therefore, shirayim mikra habu tevel. Like shkuta can't become the veil, right? So therefore, shirayim mikra habu tevla. The shirayim can't possibly become tevel. Once you took out the claimants from it, then that's it. It remains that all you have left is shirayim. You know, it can't return to the status that it had before the claimants were taken.
But it's still, the second one wasn't taken.
That's fine, but that's the question, therefore. According to the Chista, what should happen now, as soon as you took the claimants from the first one, the second one should be bottled to the first one. Because you go according to the mivatel, you would say, therefore, that min b'she'enei minoi. Min b'she'enei minoi is bottle and roiv. So therefore, it should be bottle and roiv. And that's it. You don't have a second mincha to take a klipta from. Or you don't have a full second mincha, rather, because some of it is missing. Some of it became bottle on the first one.
That's
when you get another mincha. But the point is, our Mishnah, which said that if you have two menachos that fell together, you can take a claimant from each one, and you're good. How, if we say that our Mishnah is a coincidence of Yehuda, which we just established it has to be, then how is it going to fit if we went to the Chista? That's the thing. We said it can't fit a coincidence of Chachamim. It must be a coincidence of Yehuda. Once it's according to Rabbi Yehuda, then we have to see, is it according to Rav Chista's understanding or according to Rav Chanina's understanding?
Okay.
Rav Chanina, they argue in Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. We said before, yes. So, Lema al-Liba de Rav Chista, the loy kid of Chia. Should Rav Chista have to at least say that our Mishnah doesn't agree with Rav Chia? We would rather say that Rav Chia is going to agree with our Stam Mishnah. But it seems like, of necessity, we said before that Rav Chista is talking only within Rav Chia's opinion. We said Nevelo Shchuta Betelos Zubazu, and we said Rav Chia understands that Rav Yehuda is not always saying Min Mimino is Bottle. It depends whether it's able to be like it or not. So therefore, it would come out, Rav Chista would have to say, therefore, our Mishnah is not relevant to that, because our Mishnah is not like Rav Chia. Rather, our Mishnah is like the plain meaning of Rav Yehuda, that min b'mino is never bottle. And therefore, so therefore, doesn't matter which one can be bottle in either one. They're min b'mino, and therefore neither one is bottle. That would seem to be the only way to make it work, according to Rav Chista. Which would mean that we'd have to say that our Mishnah disagrees with Rav Chia, which we would rather not do. But is that what we have to say? The answer is no. Hossam Kidab Zera. No, we don't have to say that, because we could explain the situation based on what Rav Zera said. Now, the Gemara is going to bring the statement of Rav Zera a few times in the Sugya. The Tosfos explains that the primary place where Rav Zera said it is going to be towards the bottom of the Amud, in connection with another issue that we're going to bring up over there. But the Gemara is also bringing it on over here. Namely, the Amud Rav Zera, Nemra Haktorah B'Koymetz V'Nemra Haktorah B'Shirayim. The Pasuk tells us about the Koimet. The Pasuk says a couple of times that he has to burn it on his back, and he uses the expression vehiktir, or words to that effect, so he has to burn it. It also says, regarding the Shirayim, it says the Lashon Haktara, in the negative sense, because it says that, the Pasuk says, she calls the overcalled Vash lo sakturu mimenu isha lashem, and lo sakturu mimenu teaches us that anything where you have a korban, that part of it is meant to be burnt on a mizbeach, the rest of it there's an Easter to offer on a mizbeach. Not until it's done, period. In other words, for example, with a mincha, you have a mitzvah to burn the kaimis on a mizbeach, therefore, because you have a mitzvah to burn part of that korban on a mizbeach, therefore it is also to burn any of the rest of the korban on a mizbeach. It's also to burn any of the shirayim on the mizbeach. You have to, the kohen have to eat it. But the point is, the expression that Gemara uses in it is, kol shemimenu la'ishim, any korban where you have some of it goes on the fire, hare shiora buval takiru, or whatever, then the remainder of it, you have an isur to be makriv on the mizbeach. So therefore, in other words, so in that sense, you have the word haktara in a negative sense, but you have the word haktara in connection with the shirayim. The Torah is telling you, on the one hand, burn the kohenet. On the other hand, the Torah is telling you, do not burn the shirayim. So therefore, if Zera says, that allows us to make a gzera shava, or mamasinu, between them. Ma haktara amura b'kohenet, en ha-kohenet mevatel l'chamele. Just like when it comes to the kohenet, one kohenet cannot be mevatel the other one. Even Rabbi Yehuda agrees to that. Even Rabbi Yehuda, who says that min b'mino is not vatel, but he says that one kohenet is not going to be mevatel the other one. We had a previous Mishnah. We had a Mishnah before on Chof Beis where we had one kohenet got mixed up with another one. I mean, you have Rabbi Yehuda coming in and saying over there that you have a problem. Yeah, because it's min b'mino. Yeah. So therefore, so just like with the kohenet, one kohenet cannot be mevatel the other. Therefore, it says Reb Zera, the fact that it says haktara in the negative sense in connection with the shirayim teaches us that the same thing applies in shirayim mevatel the kohenet. The shirayim are not able to be mevatel the kohenet. So in other words, we can say like this. We can say, Reb Chista can still say that our Mishnah agrees with Reb Chiya, with Reb Chiya's understanding of Reb Yehuda. Namely, we said, Rabbi Yehuda says min b'mino is never batel, and Rabbi Chiya modifies that, or according to Tosfos is actually disagreeing, according to Shitim HaKubetus, rather, is actually disagreeing with Rabbi Yehuda, and saying it's not always min b'mino ain't batel, it depends whether one of them is able to become like the other one or not. We figure out whether it's min b'mino based on the mevatel, as your Chista says. We can make all that work with our Mishnah, because we would say our Mishnah is a special case. We have, based on what Reb Zera is saying, we have Reb Zera Sakotu, that Shirayim are not able to be Mevatel the Koimet. Therefore, the result is that you have over here, even though on the face of it, according to Reb Chista, we should go according to the Mevatel, we should say that a Mincha that had the Koimet taken from it is not able to become one that did not have the Koimet taken from it. Therefore, we're arguing it should be Mevatel the other Mincha, it should be Mevatel the Mincha that's Tevel, and then you can't take the Koimet from it. Based on what Reb Zera is saying, we're saying that no, Shirayim are not able to be mevatel the kohen. Therefore, the result is that only in this particular case are we saying that there's no bittul, and therefore you can go ahead and take kohenus from the other one. Because you have Shirayim versus Tevel. But had it been any other case involving parts of Korbanus that got mixed up, then yes, Reb Chista would say we would have to, or things that got mixed up, like Nevela and Shchuta and whatever, we would have to say that we'd have to look at which one can become like the other one.
Cannot be mevatel
the koimet, and they can't be mevatel the tevel, because you have the word haktara by both of them. So we learned that just like one koimet can't be mevatel the other, so a shirayim can't be mevatel the koimet. So therefore, only in this particular case. So everything's intact. We can say that our Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Yehuda and goes according to Rabbi Chiya's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda.
Except when it comes to shirayim.
Except that you have a specific exception when it comes to shirayim. Toshma. Come, let's prove from another case in the Mishnah. A koimet chenis out of the mincha shalanikmasa. We said that if a koimet of one mincha gets mixed up with a mincha that had not had the koimet taken from it, lo yakir, we said you shouldn't offer it on a mizeach. The imhikir, but if the koyan did go ahead and offer it, zushin nikmasa also lebailim, so the one that had the koimet taken counts to the owner, he was yoked to his obligation. The zushin nikmasa also lebailim, the one that didn't have the koimet taken doesn't count for the owner. you know, I mean, you have, for example, Reuven and Shimon. You know that Reuven and Shimon both brought their menachos, and you know that you took the kaimitz from Reuven, then you dropped it into Shimon's un-kaimitz mincha, and now you know, therefore, the result is, really, you shouldn't be offering either kaimitz anything on the mizbeach, because if you do, then inevitably you're going to be offering some of Shimon's, which hasn't had a kaimitz taken from it, and you're not supposed to be offering that on the mizbeach. But yeah, but if you did, then Reuven's will be kosher and Shimon's won't. Okay. So now, again, v'loy kamavasa leitzivul l'kaimitz. Again, what are we saying? That the tevel mincha, the one Shimon's mincha that has not had the kaimitz taken from it, is not mavasa, the kaimitz of Reuven's mincha. So again, we have to figure man. Again, let's go through the same discussion. Who is this Mishnah like? E Rabbanon. If it's like the Rabbanon, why shouldn't it be Basel? Ha'amri Oilin Hudalim Mivatli Hadadi. They say you have a Xeris HaKosir from the blood of the power and the blood of the sire, that things that are offered on the Mizbeach don't cancel each other out. Min B'mine Basel. But other than that, Min B'mine, you're talking two things that are flour and oil. One's a Koimus, one's a Tevel Mincha. They're both made of the same ingredients, therefore one should be Mivatli the other. Therefore the Koimus should be Basel. What do you mean? If you offer it on the Mizbeach, the Diaz and Yoyos.
The blood is never mavasa, but all the rest is.
Wait, this is the mincha. We're not talking about blood.
No, the
chum say that oilin, that things that are offered on the mizbeach are not mavasa each other. But here one mincha is not oilin. One the one mincha that hasn't had the kaimitz taken from it yet is not an oilin. It has a kaimitz in it, but oilin meaning something that's offered on the mizbeach. The whole mincha is not going to be offered on the mizbeach. Only the kaimitz. Ella, Shitzer of Yehuda. So obviously we have to say that part of the Mishnah is also coming to the Yehuda. So again, the Shlema Lamander Alam Basel Mavasa was doing them. So here it's the other way around. According to the, so now we say it would work out well according to Rav Chista. Rav Chista, who says you go according to the Mavasa, that if the, that when you see which one can be like which, that he says that you go according to the Mavasa, well then in this case, Mavasa habits a bottle, then we can say that that the mevatel, the mincha, which is pebble, have it a bottle, it can become like the kaimitz that you're arguing should be bottle in it. The kol purta chodil mitzmas mineh, because out of that larger mincha, out of Shimon's mincha, any part of it could conceivably become part of the kaimitz. The kaimitz is reaching in at random and taking out a kaimitz. Any particular grain of flour in there could end up being in that kaimitz. So therefore, you could argue, so therefore, the effect is, according to the chista, that you go according to the mevatel, what you end up with is you have min b'mino, because you have, the mevatel is able to become like the bottle, the tevel is able to become like the kaimitz, and min b'mino le bottle. Okay, so according to the Yehuda, min b'mino is not bottle, you're good. So therefore, you're able to take be maxed with the thing on the mezeh.
The mevatel goes like the...
Because the mevatel is able to become, is able to become like the bottle. Because the larger mincha, the tevel mincha, is able, conceivably, any part of it could become a kaimitz if you took a kaimitz from it. So therefore, you can say that that's a case of min min min. El lamandel and bottle as women, but according to the chanina, that you go according to the bottle, kaimitz mika habitivla, then the kaimitz can't possibly become tevel. The kaimitz has been taken out. Now it has the rules of a kaimitz. It no longer has the rules of a tevel mincha, because you're not going to take a kaimitz out of a kaimitz, for example. And therefore, according to him, it should be min b'she'enen minoi, and Rabbi Yehuda should say, and Rabbi Yehuda should say it's bottle. If it's bottle, you can't offer the mixture on the mizbeach, even to the oven. So how is Rabbi Chanina going to understand that? Lema the leker of Chia. Again, given that we said before that both Rabbi Chia, not Rabbi Chia, both Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Chista, we said are arguing within Rabbi Chia's opinion, should we have to say now, according to Rav Chanina, that maybe Rav Chia would disagree with this part of the Mishnah? And again, the answer is, Honami Kedir Rav Zera. Again, we can use Rav Zera's answer from before, that there's a Hekish or a Zera Shava or whatever between the Shirayim and the Kaimitz, that the Kaimitz can't be Mavato the Kaimitz, and similarly, the Shirayim can't be Mavato the Kaimitz. And here, therefore, what we're saying is the Shirayim, in this case, the Tevel, cannot be Mavato the Kaimitz. So therefore, only because of that, is it not bottle? No, you can't take from the other one because you don't have enough of a. The point is that therefore the Mishnah says what you do is lahatchila you should not be makir with any of this mixture on the mizbeach because you have the kaimet mixed in with a mincha which is not supposed to be offered on the mizbeach. But b'diavad, if you did, then the fact is you have the kaimitz somewhere in there, and we just established that it's not bottle based on Rav Zera's reason, and therefore b'diavad Reuven's mincha was open.
Rav Zera is a hero.
Exactly.
Yeah. So again, that here before we needed him for a chista, now we need him for a chanina. Toshma, let's continue with the next part of the Mishnah. Nitzarev kumsa b'shirai and shacharata. We had another case in the Mishnah where the kumas of one korban got mixed up with the shirai of another korban. So before we had the previous case we had just now is Reuven's kumas got mixed up with Shimon's unkumas mincha. Now we have Reuven's kumas got mixed up with the shirai of Shimon's mincha. The kumas had been taken from each one of them, but then the kohen dropped Reuven's kumas into Shimon's shirai. So what happens? So we said lo yachdu. Again, we said that chachilah you should not be makriv with it because you have the same problem because you're going to be makriv shirayim on the mizbeach and you can't do that. The im hichdu also labaylam, but if he did burn it, then it counts for the owner, it counts for Reuven, b'diavad, yeah. So again, v'ha'ha'cha do I have a mevatel kebatel. Now over here, again, the mevatel, the shirayim is not able to become like the bottle. The koymet, the loy come about to the shirayim of koymet, and we're saying that the shirayim are not about to the koymet. Mani irabon and fuller. So again, we have the same question. Let's go through the same discussion again. That this Mishnah can't seem to work according to the chachamim because they were going to say min b'mina is bottle anyway. It has to be according to Rabbi Yehuda. And once we go according to Rabbi Yehuda, then once we establish that the according to Rabbi Yehuda, then again you have the same problem over here before where the mevatel is not able to become like the bottle, and therefore how is it going to work? You have Rabbi Chista and Rabbi Chanina again, and again how are they going to understand this? Again, are they going to have to say, is one of them going to have to say that Rav Chiya is disagreeing with it? And again, Amr of Zera, so here is the primary place where Rav Zera originally said his statement. Nemra haktara b'koymet for Nemra haktara b'shirayim. We have the word haktara in connection with the koymet and in connection with the shirayim. Ma haktara amur b'koymet and koymet and vato chavere. Af haktara amur b'shirayim and shirayim and vato b'koymet. So therefore, the same thing still works. Only because we have the Zera Takasu, that shirayim are not vato b'koymet, only because of that are they considered separate. If not for that, we would have said that the shirayim can't become koymet, and the koymet can't become shirayim. So therefore, actually, the question would have been on both Rav Chanina and Rav Chista, because either way, well, within Rav Chiya, we said before that Rav Chanina and Rav Chista, would both of them have to say that Rav Chiya is disagreeing with our Mishnah, right? And the answer is, once we bring in Rav Zera's point, then we say, we don't have to say that. Rav Chiya would say that normally it depends whether one can become like the other, and you have Rav Chanina and Rav Chista arguing which one has to be able to become like the other. But over here, because the pasuk tells us that the koymet can't, and the shirayim are not mabasal of each other, then therefore you're good.
No.
Right. We're saying that this whole argument is within Rav Chiya, and Rav Chiya may or may not be agreeing with Rav Yehuda. The halacha is like a chacham anyway, that min b'mina is bottle.
The halacha is like that.
Right.
But sometimes you are afraid to Sarah Rashi, who holds that min b'mina in a bottle, aren't you?
It's a long time since I've learned Tarot, but I guess when we get to it, we'll talk about it.
Yeah,
because
this is very, not learned. I don't think they're quoted in the whole,
All right. No, this particular sugya is not necessarily mentioned in Hilchos Issa V'Hetzer. Could be. All right, anyway, let's go on. Okay, well now we're going to bring another case, which is Negei Halacha nowadays, where this whole thing of Vatel being like Mavatel or not comes into play. Toshma, we learn in a Braisa, Kibla, you actually have a Machlokas Rishonim, whether this next piece that we're going to learn now is referring to Menachos, which again, therefore, is not Negei nowadays, or whether it's referring to Masa on Pesach, which is Negei nowadays. So, Kibla B'Ketzach, a braiser says if he spiced it with kesach, which is a something like caraway, or there's something like caraway or cumin or something like that that they put on bread or whatever for flavor. So Rashi says we're talking about over here isak pesach. We're talking about dough that's being made from matzah for pesach. So if he spiced it up, if he put in kesach, hold that thought. Means wait a minute. So Rashi says that we're talking over here about matzah. The Rambam brings this halacha in two different places. He brings it in Hilchos Chometz to Matzah, as far as Matzah, and he also brings it in Hilchos Ma'aser Korbanos, as far as Menachah. So he understands that it applies to both of them, because the fact is, to a certain extent, the same dinim apply to both of them. Menachahs have to be kept Matzah. You're not allowed to make Menachahs Chometz.
Right.
So, Tiblo b'Kesach, so if he spiced it with Kesach, the caraway or whatever, the shumshumin, or with sesame seeds, or the chomine tablin, or any other kind of spices, kshera, then it's kosher, as masa or as a mincha, as the case may be. Masa, because after all it is masa, because the mincha has to be masa, and the masa for Pesach has to be masa, eloshinikras masa betubela, except that in this case it's called spicy, it's called spice masa. Rashi over here, and the Rambam understand that what we're talking about is mixing in spices before it was baked. So you mix the flour and water, and then you put in some spices, and then you bake it. In both places, the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam and says that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about, in the case of a mincha, for example, we're talking about you have some menachos are baked before they're offered, and you have, which we have learned before, baked or fried. Other, even the ones that are brought as raw flour and oil, afterwards the kohenim can bake them, because they have to eat them, the shirayim. We're talking about spicing them, we're talking about applying spices to them after they're baked. Similarly, the Ravid says, as far as masa, we can't be talking about...
Salt
is a different issue, actually. Salt is not spicy, per se, but wait. Now that you mentioned that point, hold on. The Ravid says, also in connection with masa, it's one thing if you drizim and you know how to prevent it from becoming chometz, but if you don't, then you shouldn't be doing that for Pesach because it's too easy for it to become chometz. So in fact, in Shulchan Aruch, it mentions these two opinions. It does say that, yes, there's a number of Rishonim also agree with the Ravid that spices are likely to heat up the dough and therefore make it become chometz faster. They do also mention another consideration, which is if you're talking about the masa for the tzedarim, then you have a different issue because that has to be masa, that has to be lechem oni, it has to be poor man's bread. If you're spicing it, then it's not lechem oni anymore. So it's the same. It's masa ashira. It's the same problem as egg masa and other such kinds of things. So in Shulchan Aruch it brings that you shouldn't be putting spices into the masa dough. Because you have the problem that it may make it chometz. Anyway, though, so again, so our Gemara, our Braita over here, according to Rashi and according to the Rambam, is talking about putting it into the dough. According to the Ravid, it's talking about after the fact. The point is like this:
so based on the assumption that the
spices are going to heat it up or whatever, and they're going to make it become chometz. Yeah. Okay. Kosalka Daitach. Now the Gemara says we assume for purposes of argument. We assume for purposes of argument that after Shlach Tavlin Tfei Masa, that the case could even be you put in more spices than you put in flour for Masa. Now, Tosfos says, who would ever do that? Who would ever do that? So Tosfos says, we don't mean it. Yeah. So Tosfos says, it doesn't mean literally that you put in more. It means you don't always mix, either the spices don't always get mixed evenly with the dough. You could inevitably have. You could have one particular area in it where there's more spice than, where there's more spice than flour.
Flavor, spicy,
no.
Stronger.
No.
What's it called when you have a lump of unmixed flour?
I don't know.
Are we going to get to it?
I don't know. Not sure. Okay. I don't know. Okay, anyway, the point is that so we assume that there could be a case, even we're talking about where in one particular part of it, let's say you have more spices than matzah. So now let's figure. The Shlema Lamandala bottle is in them. So according to the Chanina, who says that you go according to the bottle, good, bottle have it to the bottle. Then what happens over here is the bottle, the spices that you want to argue a bottle of the masa, have it to the bottle. They are, or the other way around, rather, the masa can become like the mevato, like the spices, in the sense, the lachima afsha, when it boils, have it like a tablin, then it'll be like the spices, in the sense that if you eat spices, you're not yoked to the mitzvah of masa. The mitzvah of masa is to eat masa made of flour and water. So spices don't count towards that. And if the masa spoils and becomes inedible and you eat it, you're also not yoked to the mitzvah of masa with that part that's spoiled. So therefore, the bottle is able to become like the mevato. The masa flour is able to take on the dinim of the spices. And therefore, according to Rav Chanina, therefore that's why it's not bottle. Because min minina, according to Rav Yehuda. But according to the Pristo, who says you go according to the Mivasal, you can't have the spices, can't take on the Dinim Masa. You're never going to have a case where the spices count towards the kazayas of the masa. The masa can become like the spices. It's spoiled where you're not yotze the mitzvah. The spices can't become like masa. You can never be yotze the mitzvah with them. So according to Rav Chista, how would that work? According to Rav Chista, you should have to say, therefore, that according to Rav Yehuda, the masa should indeed be bottled in the larger amount of spices in that area. And therefore, you don't have a full kazayas. Yeah, because that's the point. That's what we've been saying throughout the whole sugya. Because since the mevatel is able to become, since the mevatel is able to become like the bottle, or the other way around, since the bottle was able to become like the mevatel, therefore it's min mimino, and therefore according to the Yehuda, it's not bottle. The answer is half. My skin is a lawyer after shlotavlin. You have to say, according to the priest, you would have to say that it's not talking about that you put in so much spices. Deruva Masa, you have to be talking about that most of it is Masa, or in every area of it, you have more Masa than spices, you only have a small amount of spice. But like Bakla, and therefore that's why it's not Bakla.
Okay.
Because you don't have in any part of it, you don't have in any part of it more spices than Masa, such that it would be Mavakla part of the Masa. But if, according to the Pchista, if you had where it was spiced unevenly, and parts of it had more spice than Masa, then yes, according to the Pchista, those parts would count towards your kazai. It was a dekanami. In fact, you can see that from the wording of the Braisa, because any Masa, because after all, the Braisa says it is Masa, implying that most of it is Masa. Elishinikras Masa Matubelas, except that it's called spice Masa. Shmamino, so that proves that that's the case we're talking about, where there's only a little amount of spice, and it basically has the status of Masa. By the way, you were asking before about salt. Salt is a bit of a different thing. Salt is, I think everybody agrees, is more likely to make it become comets faster, and therefore you can't use you can't put salt in the dough. Putting salt on already baked masa, of course, is different. But I'm pretty sure everybody agrees that you can't use salt water.
Each week that's increased on the
Yeah, and put salt on it before they offer it on the mezeh. Yeah, we learned the other day. But we're talking about when you're making the minchah or when you're making masa.
So after.
That's the
we didn't need to go with the rabzeres.
The here we didn't need rabzeres things. It's not about a minchah, but yeah. Okay. Fine.
So what
we're left with, therefore, is according to the Chanina, it would work either way. Whether you had more masa in every part of it than spices, or even if you had in some part of it more spices than masa, either way, the masa doesn't become bottle to these spices, because min mishane, because min mishane, according to the Yehuda, and it's not bottle. According to the Chista, we would have to say that in every part of it, you had more masa than spices.
And then,
then it would be okay. Therefore, then it's the other way around. The spices can be bottled for the masa. The masa is the larger amount, therefore it's not going to be bottled in the smaller amount of spices. Therefore, none of the masa is going to be bottled.
But in the areas where there's more spices...
That's the point. According to the Christi, you can't have that. If you do have areas where there's more spice than masa, then the masa is going to be bottled on the spices.
And then that takes away
from the kazayas, yeah. Okay. New discussion. Ki solik Rav Kahana. When Rav Kahana went out from Bavol to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechinu lebnei Rav Chiya, he found the sons of Rav Chiya, their names were Yehuda and Chizkiah, the Yasti v'Kamri. They were sitting and saying the following day, Isorin Shechilta, if you took the Isorin of the Mincha and divided it into two parts, the hinichay bebisa, and then you put it into the bisa, which is the keli that they use for a mincha. And isaron is a sheer challah. In modern terms, it's somewhere between 3 and 5 pounds. The minimum amount that you have to take challah from. So here you took, you put and brought a mincha, flour and oil mixed together. They took it and divided it into two pieces. And put the two pieces in a keli, in a kli charis, where one of them is not touching the other one. You have two lumps of dough over there that are not touching each other.
How is it possible
you
put them both together?
It's a large enough keli. Now what happened was, v'nogat tzvul yoyim be'echad mehen. Now what happened was a tzvul yoyim touched one of those two lumps of dough. Mahu, what is the din? Now we know that if a tzvul yoyim touches a mincha that's in a kli sharet, then it becomes possible. The question is, here where he touched only one half of it, effectively it's the same thing. I mean, for our purposes, it means you can't offer it on the mezbeach. No, it's not tamei in the sense it's not metame other food, but it's possible to offer on the mezbeach. That's one of the things that applies to kodshim that doesn't apply to chulin.
Right.
No, there is no possibility. The Tvoyon is not completely trauma, but he has a degree of trauma. He has a degree of trauma. Right. Exactly. That's the definition. Trauma means that it can transmit trauma to something else. Possible means that it's not. The point is, if a Tvoyon, we know if Tvoyon touches a mincha that's on a Kli Shoreis, he makes it possible. The question is here, where you have two lumps of dough that aren't touching each other, but they're both in the same keli. If the Tvul Yoyim touched one of them, does the other one become tamei?
Well,
whichever one he touched.
We know which one.
We know which one, yeah. Now, so the question is like this. Tnan kli mitzaref masha b'seichel l'kodesh. Now, we learn in Chagiga, you have Mishnayos over there that discuss a number of dinim, a number of milos, they're called, a number of special dinim that apply to Kodesh and nothing else, that don't apply to Truma, let alone Kolin. One of them is a concept called Kli Mitzaref Masha B'Seicha L'Kodesh, that a Keli combines, as far as Kodesh is concerned, combines together everything that's inside it. In the sense that if a Tevul Yom touches some of it, then all of it becomes fossil. You could argue, Hani Mila Hecha the Nagi Ba'adodi. You could argue that's talking about where the pieces of it are all touching each other. Touching each other inside the cave. Aval hecha deloy nagi ba'adadi, loy. Or maybe, but on the other hand, maybe when they're not touching each other inside the cave, then maybe not. Maybe he's only matama, the one that he touched, and not the other one.
That's not stipulated in the
Brachah. The Mishnah just said, we have to figure out, does that mean when it's all touching or not? Oydum aloy shno, maybe it doesn't matter. So that's Bnei Reb Chiya, we're asking this question. Amalahu ihu. So Reb Kahana answers then like this. Think of it like this, he says. Look at the wording of the Mishnah. Mi tnan kli mechaber. Did the Mishnah use the expression that the keli connects them? Which would imply that we're talking about dafka when we're touching them together, when they're touched together. Mitzaref tnan, the expression in the Mishnah is mitzaref, as in combines them together, implying they're not, implying even though they're not touching, it combines them. You have to figure like this. What he's saying is the word mitzaref is like is kind of more of an abstract term than mechaber. Mechaber means that things are literally touching. Mitzaref just means like machshava tova akadosh baruch hu mitzaref b'maaseh. They're two intangible things, but Hashem connects them and joins them together. So
making me together, you want to start praising
them
together.
So the fact that it uses the expression kli mitzaref implies even if they're not touching. Therefore, kol dehu. Therefore, that would mean regardless. Even if they're not touching, the fact that they're all in one keli makes that now if a Tvul Yom touches one of them, all of them become possible. Okay. Next.
It's a bit like a Noah.
Yeah, I guess in that sense, I guess we say okay. Okay, then they asked another question. What about hoshit echad lebeinei hen mahu? Now, how about another thing? What if a person took a half isaron of flour? Hosh means he stuck in a half isaron of flour and put it between the other two half isaron. And now you have one, two, three. The Pashtus we're talking about, but they're still not touching each other.
Even
but
the third one? Even
the Pashtus we're talking about, but...
separated by one, but yeah, none of them touches each other.
Right. So, and you have also the Rambam in particular talks about that he says that the half Isaron we're talking about over here is not part of a mincha at all. Now, the point is like this. We're going to learn later on in the Masechta, a mincha has to consist of whole Isaron. There's no such thing as a mincha of a fractional number of Isaron. You have one Isaron, two Isaronim, three Isaronim, and so forth. You can't have one and a half. So this half Isaron that they stuck in there is not able to become part of the mincha together with the others. That's the question. It effectively does it serve as a mechitza. So mahu, what would be the din? If a Tvul Yom touches, the Rashi explains the question is, if a Tvul Yom touches the one in the middle, do the ones on the side become tamei? And you have different variations that different Rishonim talk about. I think the Rambam says we're talking about even if he touches one of the side ones, which was part of the original mincha, does the tumah go across, does the psul go across to the other one by way of the one in the middle or not? So he answers them like this. So the rule is only something that requires to be in the keli is when we say the rule that the kli is mitzaref, that it combines it all together. But in this case, this half isaron does not need to be in that keli because it cannot possibly combine with them to become one mincha. therefore, ain't clean masarfo. Therefore, he says the kli is not going to be masarfo. And therefore, in other words, so according to Rashi's explanation, in other words, if the tavur yom were to touch the one in the middle, no problem. The other ones do not become tavur, even though they're all in the same keli, because that one doesn't belong there. It's not. It doesn't belong in the keli, and therefore the keli doesn't have that effect on it. Combine it with the other. Now that they ask, then they ask the third question. Now, how about another question? Suppose the Tavul Yoyim doesn't actually touch any of them, but he sticks his finger into the airspace of the Keli. So he didn't touch the Keli, he didn't touch the actual Mincha itself, but he just stuck his finger into the air of it. Mahu, what would be the name? Amalahu, and Rav Kahana answers them, no problem. The only case where we ever have something becoming tamei from its airspace is a kli cheres. If you have tumah goes into the airspace of a kli cheres, even if it doesn't touch it, then the kli cheres and whatever is inside it will become tamei. But the kli shares, the bisa, is not a kli cheres. We're going to learn in a few blocks they are to be made on metal. So therefore, there's not going to be an issue, right? Now that they asked him three questions, now it was his turn to ask them a question. Then he went and asked them the following question. Mahu likmot mizelzeh. Now let's go back to the case where we had, again, you had the two halves of the Isorin in one keli. We're saying over here before that the keli is mitzarif them as far as Toma. The question is, can you take knissa from one of those lumps on behalf of the whole mincha? If you were to do that, while they're still separated in the keli, the kohen were to take a knissa from one of those lumps and not touch the other one, would it be counted? Would it be a valid knissa for the whole mincha? That's the question. The question is.
So hold on.
No. Forget about any in between point. We're going back. Forget about this. Yeah.
Now you start on one side.
You have a half yisodon on one side and a half yisodon on the other side.
But they
belong to the same mincha. It happens to be that they were placed in the keli as separate ones. But that's the question. The question is, it's half and half. It's half and half. So the question is that when we say this concept of siddur, that whatever's in the keli combined together, is it daraisa? In that case, then it should apply lachumra as far as tumah and lakula as far as kmita, and therefore it would be good. Or dirabanan, or maybe this concept of siruf is only dirabanan. Therefore, we can only apply it lachumra to make them tame, but not to make it possible, whatever. But not lakula, not to say that not the rabanan can't make it possible for you to be over on something that it says in the Torah. If mina Torah they'd be considered as separate things, then the rabbanon wouldn't be able to give you the capability of taking the kohenus from it. You'd have to put them together first.
By the way, where did you know that it's a half and sorry?
Because that's what we're talking about. We started with the whole case. So this is what we're talking about over here. We're talking about Isor and Shacholkoi, and he took it. Okay. So that's the question. Siruf Doraisa or Drabon? Amruloi, so Bnei Reb Chiya answered him like this. Zuloi Shemaynu, we haven't actually heard from our Rebbein anything about this particular case. Kayotzeboi Shemaynu, but we have heard a similar case, and we can try to draw an analogy from that case to your case. It's not. Namely, we learned in our Mishnah, Shnei Menachos Shalem Nichmatu, we said if you had two Menachos that a Koimus was not taken from them, V'nis'ahu Zubazu, and then one of them was mixed up with the other one. So we said in Yochol Likmus Mizubuf Nasma Mizubuf Nasma, if there's enough of them that's not mixed, that you're able to take a koimitz from one without any mixture of the other one, and a koimitz from the second one without any mixture of the first one, Kshedus Veim Lav Tzulus, and if not, then they're possible. So they're saying like this. Ki Yochol Likmus, so what are we saying in our Mishnah? If you're able to take a koimitz from each one, Mia, so we're saying at any rate, Kshedus, and there's the two Menachos are kosher, but why should that be? Hamai. Now, why should it be kosher? Hachtima Arav Halei Noga. After all, you have parts of the Mincha that were mixed with the other one. Those parts are not touching the koimitz. In other words, what you have is, you could have, for example, that you had Mincha A and Mincha B, so you have that part of Mincha A is over here. Part of it, let's say, it fell over here. So you have enough of it intact by itself that you're able to take from it. But meanwhile, you have the other part of it, which is over here on the other side, with Mincha B in between them. And yet we're saying that it's a valid kmitza. So So therefore, Vinera Priya answer, Rakana, same thing should apply to your case. You have them physically separated in the Kali. Shouldn't matter. You should be able to take a Kmitza from that.
That's two different Menachas.
There are two different Menachas to start with, but that's the point. In other words, you have, of the first of each Mincha, you don't necessarily have that all of it is together. If all of it was together, you wouldn't really have an issue. The whole point is, you have them a little bit intermixed. But now you have, for example, that part of the one mincha fell over here, part of it fell over here. In between it, you have parts of the other mincha. And we're saying, nevertheless, you can take a kmitza from this part of this one, as long as you're not getting anything in the other one, and it'll cover this part also, which is over here. If you're going to tell me that didn't work, if you're going to tell me the whole concept of siruf kli is only dirabanan, that wouldn't work. The fact that the Mishnah says it works implies that it must be daraisa, and therefore it's okay. It works in this case also. The answer is not necessarily. Omar Rava, so Rava says not necessarily. Is that a proof? Because Duma B'Gushin Ham Cholokin Hafturin Kamatsri. Because we could say the case of our Mishnah is that you have the masses of dough are separate. They're separated like a comb. In other words, what Rashi describes that you have, in other words, you don't assume that we're talking about, like we said, that part of it fell over here and part of it fell over here and they're physically separated. Say that, for example, they fell like this, where you have the body of one mincha is over here and you're able to take a kindness from it. The body of this mincha is over here, and then you have, in between, there are like fingers extending from one to the other and intermingling. You can see in Shittimukabethis, you can see on the side of it here, there's a diagram of it. So it's like two combs. It's like two combs that are meshing together. So therefore, there's no part of either mincha that's physically separated from the rest. So yes, if you had that part of the mincha was here and part of it was here, not necessarily as a mishnah saying, that's good. But like this, where they fell like this, where each part is one whole. Each mincha is one whole body. It's just separated into.
That's the point.
The Mishnah is saying, as long as you have enough that's still separate to be able to take a kindness from it, then you're good. But had it been a case where some of it was separated, then not necessarily. Okay, so the Gemara says, my haviyah.
Each mincha is whole, is it just connected a bit?
Yeah, exactly. In other words, the one mincha fell like this, the other mincha fell like this, let's say. Right. So every part of this mincha is connected to the body of it. Like fingers are connected to a hand, or like teeth of a comb are connected to a comb. Or you had, as opposed to the case where you had some of it broke off and fell someplace else. Not necessarily is the Mishnah addressing that.
Not one of these where the finger comes.
Yeah. Okay. My Havialah. Okay, so what's the bottom line? What do we say as far as this question? If we're saying that we can't prove it like B'nai Rapiya wanted to from our Mishnah, then what will be the deal about this? Omar Rava Toshma, so Rava says, come on, bring me a Braisa as a proof. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Beheira Mimenu. When the Pasuk says Beheira Mimenu, we should lift up from it, from the mincha, with his hand, with his kaimet, means minha mechumer. Mimenu means from what's attached together. Shelo yavi isarin v'shnei kelim v'yitmai, which means, therefore, you cannot bring the one isarin divided into two kelim and take a kaimet to it. But Rava says, ha v'kli echad grumya v'shnei kelim. So the implication of the braisa is you can't bring them in two separate kelim, but you would be allowed to bring them in one kelim even though they're divided into two pieces. So it's and take kmitza from it. So it sounds like from that braisa that it would be okay. Amalei Abaya, but Abaya says to him, not necessarily, because Zuma Shnei Kalim Hechidami, because you could argue, what does the Braisa mean when it says two Kalim? Does it mean two Kalim that are completely physically separate? Could go in Kapiza Bakaba. You could have a case, for example, let's say, you took a large measure, such as a kav, you carved out in the wall of it a smaller container called a Kapiza, and therefore what you have is, two containers that have a common wall, two containers that are like this, they have a common wall,
yeah.
And therefore the only place where you'd have any connection between them would be above the ribs of them. So that could be what the Braisa is talking about, that you can't bring them the Shnei. Where the point is, even though they're connected on top, above where the lift ends, given the mix, given the mifsek mechitzasa, the kapiza mitasa, since you have the mechitzas of the kapiza, divide it on the bottom, then it's no good. Ha kli echad drumya debeis kalim, which would imply, therefore, which would imply there. So what would be the implication? So that way, the Braita is saying is no good. How much more so if they're in two separate kalim? The Mishnah, the Braita is not even describing that.
Here
we're talking about two kalim that are attached like this. But let's say, in other words, so the Braita, let's say, is telling us that you're not allowed to do. So what would be, now you, Rav, are saying the implication is that there's a similar case that would be kosher. What would that, what would be the scenario where you have one kalim that's similar to two kalim? What would be the case? So going to Arev Vosa Shaltana Golan. For example, if you have like the trough that chickens eat from, where you have, so Rashi described, it's like a trough or a tray or something, and you have a low wall in the middle of it. So unlike the Kapiza Bakaba, where Rashi is explaining, where the wall in between them goes all the way to the top, the only place you can, there's going to be any connection between them is if you heap it up above that. With the Areva Sheltana Golem, the wall in between them doesn't go quite all the way to the top. It stops halfway up. That's the price it could be implying is kosher to do.
If the wall goes to the top, then it's two separate things.
Right, but if you have, if the wall is low, and therefore above that wall, they connect together inside the Kaili, then fine. But Afal got the Mystikim Nechitzah. So even though the wall divides it at the bottom, Honegiyah, at least they're touching on top. But over here, you don't have them touching at all, therefore you may still have the question. The Rambam, by the way, has a different understanding of this Kapiza Bakaba versus Arevosa Shalpana Gurman. The Rambam understands Kapiza Bakaba means like what Rashi described as Arevosa Shalpana Gurman, where you have a low wall that starts from the bottom and doesn't go quite all the way up. The other kind, where Abaye is saying, the Braita seems to be implying, would be okay, would be if you had the other way around. You had the bottom, it was connected, and then you had a wall that started from the middle and went to the top. So like, sort of like you might have, for example, for chickens. Like, you might put water in a trough over there. You want all the water to be mixed on the bottom, no reason why not. But on the top, you need separation so that one chicken doesn't get into the other one's area. So therefore, according to the Rambam, that those are the two cases. If you have a mechitzah on bottom, Abaye is saying the Braita may be implying that it's no good and may not. We don't know. If you have a mechitzah only on the top, then it would be kosher. But if they connect both on the bottom, then it would be fine. But if it's the other way, it's not a question of more than half and less than half. According to Rashi, does it go up to the rim of the kalim or not? According to the Rambam, is it on the bottom half or is it on the top half? The point is, Abaye is saying, not necessarily do you have any proof from this Braita. All this Braita can all be talking about cases where at least the two halves of the mincha are touching each other someplace, on the bottom half, on the top half, above the rim or whatever. Here, you're... So therefore, then you could argue when you're able to take mitzvah from it and when not. But when they're physically separated, even though they're inside the one keli, even though there's no mechitzah, not necessarily. Do you have any proof that you'd be able to take a claim from it?
Only if
they're actually touching.
So the mechitzah is when they go to one keli, but there's a connection either at the top or the bottom.
So therefore, so according to Rashi, Abaye is saying that if there's a connection only above the rim, then the Braita is implying it's no good. If there's a connection below the rim, then it's okay.
Then it's okay,
meaning you can take a kohenet from it. According to the Rambam, it would be if there's mechitza in the bottom half, you can't, but if there's mechitza in the top half, you could. Either way, though, all of that would be talking about only if they're actually physically touching at some place.
Yes.
In your case, according to either Rashi or the Rambam, they're both explaining the Gemara. But if we're talking about Rav Kahana's case, where they're not even touching inside the keli at all, neither on the top nor on the bottom, not necessarily is the Braita telling us anything about that. So therefore, we're left with a suffix, and the Rambam says, therefore, the hakhila you should not take kohenim from it. B'dievet if you did, then the korban. B'dievet if you did, it's kosher. However, the kohenim should because with the suffix. However, the kohenim should not eat the shirayim.